Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
G'day mates, it's Bee Buster here. And before the episode begins, I would just like to let you know that Be Scared, which is produced along with Studio 71, features scary stories from around the globe on a weekly basis that aim to fuel your nightmares with a smile. And if you enjoy the podcast, it would be great if you could hit that subscribe button and drop a review. But thanks for listening, guys. And without further ado, let's begin.
I went to Colombia for a vacation. I have always liked South American countries. More than anything because my parents almost always went there to spend some short vacations. So, you could say that I followed their tradition, I guess. I had already rented a house to stay there when I was away. It wasn't the best in the world, but it worked. Anyway, I slept in a small room with the television pointed directly in front of my bed, just as it should always be. And behind the television there was a window that I always opened when it was very hot. I closed it when I was going to sleep at about 12 at night. Now, I remember that night I was watching YouTube videos and other nonsense on the internet, just sort of killing time while waiting for my food to be ready. However, like the sound of an alarm, I started hearing a sound that I could only compare to with the sound that a sort of didgeridoo makes. It immediately threw me off. I put my cell phone down and took a quick look at my room. I thought for a moment that it was just some random person who, for incomprehensible reasons, was playing an instrument in the street. But it only took me a moment to notice that there was a face that was shamelessly peeking out of my window. His face seemed to be sort of partially melted, something that was noticeable more by the shape of his head than by his skin. The latter, with a mud color, seemed to be worn out and almost in a state of decomposition. What I mean is that he had no nose, and his eyes were completely circular, and also black. His mouth seemed to have a small smile on the right side, but on the left side, it seemed to be broken almost, but perhaps unintentionally showing an extension of his mouth on that side, forming a smile up to his cheek. His mouth had nothing inside either. It was only black. The sound of the didgeridoo that I could hear only increased all the tension and fear that I had at that moment, but I stopped trying to understand what that thing was and suddenly began to think about my safety. I ran as quickly as possible to the kitchen and took out a knife, and I returned. I stared at it, I was pretty terrified, but that didn't prevent me from at least preparing for any attempted intrusion in my house of that creature. His face remained static, although the sound didn't stop. After maybe 4 or 5 minutes of looking at it and sweating, the creature finally moved its face, turned to the right, and then it left. And the sound it made also disappeared. I ran towards my door and I saw its shadow under my door. At that moment, the lights outside of my house were already on. I was almost paralyzed by the entire encounter. I've always believed in sightings of impossible things, but seeing or reading about them on the internet is something completely different from experiencing them in your own life. I knew that what I saw was not natural. The window, with all the fear running through my body, was closed by me minutes later. Obviously, I couldn't sleep after that, nor could I really concentrate on other things. I was just thinking, trying to give an explanation to what I had seen, and if he really was just a messed up tramp who wanted to spy. That theory, although disturbing, I preferred it. But it just wasn't possible, since the place behind the window has no way for someone to lean on it to look, because it's about 2 meters off the ground. In that park, there were cracks on the ground too that had left an unfinished construction. So what I mean is that there was just no human way a normal person could look into that window from there. This is the first time that I've shared this publicly. I don't really like talking about it because I know it makes me seem a bit crazy, but I just felt like I had to share it. And who knows, maybe someone out there might know what this is. So one day, me, my parents, my sister, my uncle, my aunt, and my 2 cousins were out at the park or something. I don't remember what place exactly this was, but we were walking, talking, etc. Until we got to a part where there was a rocky beach and I was following my older cousin while my younger cousin was behind me. We were jumping from rock to rock while talking. I don't even remember what we were talking about. And as we neared the end of the rocky beach, I looked down to see where I was going to jump next. And when I looked back up, they were just not there anymore. What I mean is that they just vanished, both of them. So I yelled out their names, but nothing. There was no one there. Not my cousins, my parents, my sister, my uncle, or my aunt. I looked around and after maybe 2 minutes, I left the rocky beach and tried looking for them. It looked like they were nowhere near me though, and I didn't have my phone with me, so I couldn't call them. So there I was, lost and with no idea where the rest of the group was. Thank God that I remembered where the car was parked, so I walked all the way back to the car and waited almost an hour, and they came back. Everyone was apparently worried about me, and everyone was okay, but even my cousins were there, and I asked where they went. I told them what we were doing, and my cousins told me that they left the rocky beach way before reaching the end, so I was just there, dumbfounded, like, what the heck was that then? Who was I talking to? Why did they look and sound exactly like my cousins? Why did they suddenly disappear like that? Were they trying to separate me from the group? And if so, why? Does anyone have any idea what actually happened that day to me? When I was about 18 years old, I was living at my mother's house, which was 2 houses down from my grandmother's. One day I was biking to my grandmother's house and I rode into the driveway, got off my bike, when I just felt something. Note that I'm pretty sensitive to things. When I sense something, I see a sort of image of what it is in my mind's eye. Anyways, I turned around and I saw a glimpse of a humanoid body with a deer head looking straight at me with my physical eyes. I then see someone who was also curious going over to it, where I saw it, that is, but they found nothing. I then went over and looked around the stone wall, but there were no signs of tracks or anything. I spoke to this person briefly and asked them, "Hey, did you see that?" And they were like, "Yeah, what was that?" So I know that I wasn't going crazy. but does anyone know what this could have been? I don't think it was a Wendigo or a skinwalker or anything, but I have heard that there's a Native American lore of them being called not deer or like the deer people or whatever, so I don't know. But if you have any thoughts on this, then please do share.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
This first encounter took place in the summer of, I believe, 2016 in Ontario, Canada. Although it was a while ago, I'll admit, I still remember every detail like it was yesterday. If I'd been alone, I would have chalked it up to just something else, but the fact that both of us saw this thing is what really puts me off. So, a friend and I were walking along a trail that runs alongside the main river that cuts through the city. There are some great wooded trails along the river, and some of them even lead to neighboring cities, but I digress. The sun was setting. It was at that time of the evening where it was insanely dark under the tree coverage, but still fairly light beyond the leaves. I turned on my phone flashlight to light the way and put on some music for the two of us to listen to while we hustled home. The bugs were starting to bite at this point, and being so close to the river, they were pretty nasty. I'd paused to change the song on my phone at some point, and my friend glances to our left into the woods. She asks me, "What's that?" And instinctively, I turn the lights to where she was looking. In the darkness of the bushes and trees, we watch as this thing takes off running deeper into the brush with its back turned to us. It was making a ton of noise, twigs snapping, leaves rustling. It really didn't seem to care. Now, there are lots of deer on this trail, and I've seen a few on my walks during the day, but this was absolutely no deer. Even in such a short amount of time, the image of this thing running from us is burned into my mind. It was on all fours. It had a sort of awkward gait like a human trying to run on its hands and feet, meaning that its arms were far too short compared to its legs to be running like that. This thing was white and the light reflected off of its leathery-looking skin. It was skinny with thin arms and legs. The two of us didn't stick around much longer after that and instead chose to run the rest of the trail until we hit the end that led out into a set of soccer fields. Now, we never really spoke about it after that, and if we ever did, it was sort of just in passing. That was until yesterday. You see, I was scrolling through a subreddit for my city and paused the minute that I saw a title informing people to stay away from the river trails. Curious, I checked the post out. And the post, it described exactly what my friend and I had seen that night on those exact sets of trails by that river. I broke out into a cold sweat and immediately texted her, despite not even speaking for a while, as adulthood had kind of caught up to us both. She told me, though, that she still thinks about that encounter and does so at least once a week. I linked her the post, and she was floored by it. I won't be giving the link as it gives identifying details and, you know, the internet and all that, but reading through the replies, it was what you would expect from Reddit, I guess. People chalking it up to the guy being mentally ill, joking about him doing drugs, and people who genuinely took him seriously were being downvoted and mocked. Someone mentioned that it was all bull and that the stories of these things had been going around in the area since 1972, meaning that this probably wasn't a one-off experience from the beginning. I'm always a little bit hesitant to share this story, out of fear that I'd get the same reception. I know what I saw that night, though, and knowing that it's possibly still in those woods along a set of trails that I still walk to this day, well, it is kind of unsettling to me. In the summer of 2022, my last camping trip with my family, we went to a popular camping location in Ohio. If you can figure it out, well, that's a bonus to you, but my sister and I, me 17 at the time, and her 14 at the time, shared a tent, so we stayed up giggling and messing around quite a bit, like, you know, or talking about boys that she liked. And mostly, for week one in the two-week trip, it was fine. We slept and talked like normal, until the second week where things took a bit of a turn. Now, I have a really hard time with sleeping, so when week two strolled around, my sister would be passed out asleep, and I would be sitting there, wide awake, for hours at a time. While these hours where I sat awake just passed by, I heard noises, crunching, shifting, growling, howling even. The basic outdoor noises, though. For the next 2 days of week two, I heard a lot of walking and talking in the woods, though. Things like come here or help me. Sometimes I'd even hear faint whispering near my tent. Honestly, it began to scare me, and on the last two nights, which probably had been the worst, my sister was awake, both of us playing Uno with her phone dead, and mine on a cool 20%. At around 2 a.m., my sister went to lay down and so did I, until I heard thick footsteps around the tent. Much too heavy for deers or wolves, but way too light for bears or elk. Honestly, it was almost like a person was walking around my tent. My sister was awake and quietly watched as someone or something pressed on the tent sides and door. Now, my sister and I move all of the little tent zippers into our tents at night to keep people from trying to get in. Clearly, this person or thing was looking for said zippers as well. So, while we were scared, we felt pretty smart about it too. This was night four of week two. Now, obviously we spoke about this and told people and all that, but they said that we probably were just hearing things. And on the final week two, night five, the same heavy footsteps, the same touching at the walls, and the same whispering to come here and come out were all around us. I was terrified and waited until 5 a.m. where I sat outside waiting for my grandma. While sitting out there, I then heard whispering and then screaming, the scariest, most blood-chilling scream that I'd ever heard. It sounded like some kind of a mixture of animal or person or something, but it was so loud that I nearly wet myself. I was glad that we left in the end and even happier to not go back for 2 years. But my question for all of you is, does anyone know what this is? Or was it just some dude lurking on our campsite and trying to creep us out? Also, I talked to my grandparents about this, and they said Tater Tot, their little American Shepherd at the time, had been snarling at something outside the tent walking around. Whatever it was got scared and let out a sort of husk or a growl, and it ran away. It was about 3 a.m. for them, and it scared them too. So, they heard some things as well. Anyway, like I said, if you have any information on what this could have been, then please do share it with me, because I have trouble just not thinking about this. So I was 11 at this point, and I used to wake up at like 3 a.m. constantly when I slept alone. This would always happen when I would sleep in my room. I have no problem sleeping alone in my grandmother's house, for instance. And it really messed up my mind, but I got used to it over time, I guess. Sometimes, though, I felt really anxious, and I would feel like I was being watched. Then I would immediately rush to my parents' room. And on this particular event, I woke up at 3 a.m. like normal, and felt so anxious that I didn't even have a second thought, and straight up ran to my parents' room. They took me in and I slept in between them, and after like 3 hours I woke up again, which is odd because I always slept peacefully when I was with my parents. So I started checking my mum, but she wasn't there. Then I started checking for my dad, and he wasn't there either. I remember I was sandwiched between them though, if that makes sense. So I started panicking. I immediately got up and switched on the lights, and they weren't in their bed. I checked under the bed, the toilet or the washroom attached to the room, my toilet, and then I went downstairs and checked the living room, dining hall and other toilets, and the kitchen too, and they were just nowhere to be seen. I started panicking to the point that I'm about to burst into tears. In the end, I actually did. Then I checked if their vehicles are still here or not. The vehicles are untouched. Then there was one more room left to check. It was my grandmother's room, paternal. And for some background information, she and I are not in good terms. She doesn't really love or see me as her granddaughter, from what I've seen, and she's unbothered even if my parents disappear in the middle of the night. So I banged on her door crying hopelessly, but luckily, she did open the door and I started explaining to her what had happened. And she said, "Oh, we'll look for them in the morning then," and eventually took me in. Luckily, I slept with her, and the next morning my parents came looking for me. They didn't even know that I was not there until they woke up and they were sleeping in that same room that I was the whole night. But I really need some answers to this. Did I just get transferred to a different reality or something? I don't know, but this experience just really messed me up. I mean, my parents literally just were not there. It's honestly like they just disappeared. This happened to me when I was a teenager, some years ago, but I still think about it sometimes. So me and my 4 friends were on this 1-hour bus ride to go to my parents' house just to hang out. We were sitting and chatting in the back of the bus. The bus is empty, except for us and this middle-aged man sitting a couple of seats away from us. He looked like a normal businessman, I guess, on his way to work or something, wearing a suit and carrying a briefcase. After a while, we noticed that he was behaving kind of weirdly. He was chugging down beers rapidly, which is not that common on this bus, and also it was in the middle of the day. He was also pretty openly flipping through an adult magazine and kind of muttering to himself as well. And I mean, okay, weird, but we didn't really get too bothered by it. After a while, though, he then began to approach us, sitting closer and small-talking to us a bit, asking how old we were, where we were headed, and so on. We kind of just reply politely, but try to end the conversation pretty quickly since he's creeping us out so much. Apart from the beer drinking and the magazine, you can really sense that something is wrong with this guy. I mean, he's grinding his teeth a lot and has this blank stare like he's looking right through you, not really there, if that makes sense. Anyway, when we stop talking to him after a while, he just sort of sits there silently and stares at us for a while, breathing heavily like he's getting more and more agitated. And after a minute or so, he suddenly leans forward and pulls down the sleeve of his shirt. On his arm, he has a big pair of sharp-looking scissors duct taped to his arm, with the sharp end pointing up towards his hand. He starts stretching out his arm and making sure that we all see the scissors and says, "Does this make you respect me? Am I getting your respect now?" We just sort of sit there with our mouths open. I'm terrified at this point, not really sure what to say or do, and panicking because I'm not sure what this guy is capable of. After a moment, he leans back again and continues staring at us, not saying anything more, and we don't say anything either, afraid to set him off, I guess. We get off at the next station, all jittery and full of adrenaline after that weird encounter. If I wasn't a clueless teenager, I would have called the police at that point, but we didn't, and I still think about it sometimes and wonder what a guy like that, who is obviously unhinged, is capable of. And if he ever did something worse than just scare some teenagers by acting crazy. So, believe me that it is with extraordinary skepticism that I relay this story to you all, but I'm at the end of my rope. So, 2 days ago, my husband, 43-year-old male, and I, 46-year-old male, were in Hollywood Forever Cemetery on our way to a celebrity grave that we go to fairly regularly, even weekly in the summers. I passed a rather unremarkable grave en route to it, and just after, I remember that I saw a young man in front of it who looked at me and said, "Hey, we were born in the same year." I turned to my husband and said, "This is going to sound terrible," but cutting myself off, hoping that I'd have nothing to tell him as I approached the grave to confirm what I had heard. I moved the succulents surrounding the dates aside and really didn't want to see that the year was, in fact, 1977. My husband came over and I was speechless. He saw the 1977 and explained what I had heard. I tried not to make too much of it, but how exactly does one accomplish that? On the way out, I had to stop by again. The energy around the space had worsened, and I asked my husband to hang back this time, having felt specifically that his presence was not wanted because he couldn't see what I saw. At the grave, I felt as though he had asked in some way if I was going to make a spectacle of him now. I tried to assure him no, but I don't think he trusts me. Before the line went dead, so to speak, I had this feeling that he didn't want me to tell anyone about this. At this point, I should explain that these occurrences, they were not completely uncommon to me as a child. I don't actually see these things, but remember seeing them as a memory, I guess, seconds after the experience. Some more background too is that I was fascinated with the supernatural from an early age. I was in the gifted and talented program in grammar school, and every independent study project that we self-assigned was on some feature of the paranormal. I became obsessed with tarot cards and carried them around everywhere in a repurposed index card box. And to be honest, I just never thought that the things that I saw were uncommon. When I was around 8 or 9 and in summer camp, an, I'm sure, teenage softball counselor instructed the other boys at practice to beat me up before he joined, because I was more interested in doing readings than sports of any kind. The fight was interrupted and I was brought to the nurse and then the owner's office where my parents were called. They came, threatened suit and made sure the counselor was fired and that I knew that my camp would be comped for the next however many years. Nevertheless, they blamed me for it the whole way home. I threw the tarot cards down the incinerator and have tried to keep all of it under wraps ever since and have developed into a, I guess you could call, a total skeptic as my adult life began, disbelieving and forgetting what happened to me in my youth. But 2 days later, and this experience is still sitting with me, and I don't like the feeling. I told a trusted friend, and while his reaction was unremarkable, later today during a movie I was enjoying and focused on, I saw a light that would be difficult to describe in words. Very symmetrical, as solid as a crystal, but made entirely of light. I asked my husband if he saw it, and when he replied no, it disappeared and my glasses fogged up. I know that that sounds crazy, but they filled from the bottom up and it was weird. I took them off and asked my husband to turn on the light, which took a minute. I took my glasses off to clean them, my line of vision still blurry without the glasses. When he turned the light on, everything was clear as day, though. And though this is nowhere near as concrete as a date literally written in stone, I cannot help but feel the two are connected and was filled with the same negative energy that I felt at that grave. Anyway, I expect telling the world about this is not going to go over too well, but I'm just losing my mind over this and I'm desperate for some feedback and or direction. I'll update this if anything remarkable happens after I finish this, but anyway, thanks in advance if you have any information or help or whatever that you can pass on. This happened around 2021 in India, around COVID period when the lockdowns were still very much in effect. My dad, he used to live in another city. My brother was in college, and my mum had a government job, so she had to go to her office every day, which meant that I was basically left alone from like 10 a.m. to around 6 p.m. Now, we used to live in an apartment unit, but it had two doors. One was the main door and the other one was located in the biggest bedroom, basically my parents' room, but the door was clearly locked with an actual lock from the outside, and it also had a metal sliding door as well. It was the one with the chain structure. I'm from India, so you can Google elevators to find out what I'm talking about, but it was also locked from the outside as well. We had a ring bell on the outside, but it was just sort of connected to a small bulb in the bedroom. Sorry for this being so long, but you have to get the gist of this area to understand this story. So, one day at around 12 p.m., I was in my room, which was basically adjacent to my parents' room, and I felt, I don't know, sort of weird, so I just went to check their room. I went to the room to see the bulb blinking, and somebody was ringing the doorbell. My mum used to say to ignore it because if it was somebody that we knew, then they would never ring this. They would know that the real door was at another side of the house. So I stood there for a moment when the person started knocking really hard on the door, like it was straight up rattling. But the thing was, due to the metal gate in front of it, it would be very hard to put your hand inside to knock at the actual door. Even I couldn't put more than half of my palm in there. I was also a teen back then, so I wasn't that big. And this man was straight up banging on it somehow. I got scared and called my mum, who told me not to panic, but I was really weirded out by that, so I locked my parents' door with the lock that they had and went downstairs to chill in my brother's room. It was one of those days where my mum straight up wouldn't return till like 8 p.m., so I was alone for a long time, and I was scared to even go upstairs at this point. Around 6 p.m., our helper auntie came, and I was a little better that somebody else was in the house at this point. And during that time, I used to take private tuitions, and my teacher used to come at around 7:30, so I felt better that I'd be having some people over soon. Our main door had a big window just beside it, so whenever someone was at the door, we used to open the window to check who it was before opening it. But Auntie had a bad habit of opening it without checking. Like, you sort of memorize the timings of people, so you open it because you know that it's going to be them. Fortunately, that day, when the doorbell rang, she opened the window and then she came to my brother's room to tell me that I apparently had a cake delivery. Thing was, I didn't, obviously. So I went out to check through the window and there was a man with a cap hiding his face holding a very small box. Now, a cake box is very square and big, right? Even a pound cake has a pretty big box, and in India, we have a very small sweet box. So imagine like a 100-gram sweet box being called a cake box. And I asked him who the delivery was for. He didn't give me any name, not even the company. Just told me that it was for our flat. I called my mother and asked if she had made the delivery, and she didn't know what I was talking about. So the dude was just like, "Accept the box and open the door." And by some miracle, my teacher walked up the stairs and asked what was happening. The dude saw my teacher and instantly ran up the stairs. We lived on the first floor, and we let our teacher enter. Later, when my mum inquired about a delivery guy coming to our flat with our security guard, he said that he wasn't there at his post for around half an hour when it had happened, and we didn't have any CCTVs in our building, so nobody actually saw him. Now, all of this, it definitely shook me up a bit, and I asked my mum to at least come quickly from her office on the next day, and I didn't stay upstairs when I was home alone, too. It was a weird experience, and I still have no idea what that guy wanted, but the fact that he wanted to get us to open the door probably means that he wanted in on our house. And after that, I'm confident that what he wanted was no good.
G'day mates, it's Bee Buster here. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Bee Scared podcast. And please, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode too. Also, it would be much appreciated if you could share this new podcast with your friends and family and on social media too.
Thanks again for listening, guys, and I'll see you mates in the next one.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.